threats we face have never been more severe or more pervasive.
The U.S. charges several Chinese nationals in a massive international hacking scheme. It's Friday, December 21st, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. Also ahead, tensions grow between China and Canada. We visit a house that takes Christmas to new extremes. And remembering those we lost in 2018. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has urged caution in the wake of the detention of a third Canadian by China since the arrest in Vancouver December 1st of the chief financial officer of the giant Chinese telecom Huawei. Meng Wanzhou is being sought by the U.S. for alleged sanctions violations and is requesting her extradition. She was released on bail and has another court hearing scheduled February 6th. Mr. Trudeau, for his part, said his priority is the safety and security of Canadians abroad.
Politicizing or amplifying the level of public discourse on this may be satisfying in the short term, but would not contribute to the outcome we all want, which is for Canadians to be safe and secure.
The Prime Minister said this case appears to be separate from the other two, diplomat Michael Kovrig and businessman Michael Spavor, both detained December 10th and accused of endangering national security. The third Canadian is identified as Ceramic Ivor, who, according to Chinese foreign ministry officials, faces administrative penalties for illegal employment. Mr. Trudeau is under pressure to speak with China's President Xi Jinping about the detentions. Nelson Wiseman is a political science professor at the University of Toronto. He told VOA's Victor Beatty that while Mr. Trudeau is trying to be cautious, it may not be well received in Canada.
I think what he's thinking is that by being more aggressive, for example, by calling the Chinese president, this might simply lead to poor conditions for the Canadians being detained and for Canadian businesses in China being penalized in some way. So the approach of the government appears to be, well, we'll go through normal consular channels. We'll deal with the Chinese ambassador in Canada. We'll have our ambassador in Beijing dealing with his counterparts over in China and try to get access. Now, this third Canadian, the government isn't clear and doesn't seem to know whether it's connected to the detention of Ms. Meng, the Huawei executive. You know, there are thousands of Canadians, as there are Americans, in China at any time, and it could be a visa issue or some other issue that has led to this detention. Although many people suspect this is sort of the next domino, and that we might get more Canadians detained.
Are you saying it's time for Canada to play hardball like China apparently is?
Well, the problem is Canada doesn't have many hardballs. At best, it plays softball. We have to think our way forward through this. One possibility is this. There is going to be another hearing in this British Columbia court in early February, and that would give an opening to Ms. Meng's lawyer to argue that in light of the American president's comments, which suggest that politics is involved in this detention and it is not strictly a rule of law issue, he might decide that she should be released. I think that's one potential opening, but that's still more than a month away. I think if there's further escalation, if it becomes clear that 4, 5, 6 Canadians are held, yes, I would expect the Canadian government to get more aggressive about it.
The president of Canada's Automotive Parts Manufacturers Association is quoted as saying that he's spoken with a few Chinese automakers who are now delaying a decision to set up production facilities in Canada, so there could be further fallout from this Meng case.
Oh, yes. I mean, we've had some already. Canada Goose, which is a very successful and popular manufacturer of winter coats, was going to open a store in Beijing a few days ago and postponed the opening. And there have been demonstrations in China. There's been a lot of threats on social media. And, you know, there are police now standing on guard outside of the Canadian embassy in Beijing. So there's been a lot of anti-Canadian feeling whipped up in China, and this is being expressed on social media and expressed by some people who are well-connected to the government. Nothing happens in China without the government being directly involved. And if it's not involved, it squelches what's going on.
Why isn't China's ire directed at Washington and not Ottawa?
Because it's easy to direct your ire at Canada. It should be directed at the U.S., but the Chinese-American relationship, the trade relationship, and more broadly strategically, is so important that they're afraid of whipping up the ire of the American president. And for them, the most vital thing is getting to some sort of trade agreement with the United States, because right now their economy is actually on a downward slope.
The detentions come amid efforts to ease U.S.-China trade tensions. China's Commerce Ministry said on Thursday that there are plans to hold more trade talks with the U.S. in January after views were exchanged at the vice ministerial level. These are among the top Asia stories you'll find right now on voanews.com. North Korea says it will never give up its nuclear weapons unless the United States first removes what Pyongyang calls a nuclear threat. The U.S. and the Taliban have concluded 2 days of peace talks, promising to meet again for another round. And Sri Lankan's president appointed 28 lawmakers and the prime minister as cabinet ministers after weeks of political crisis led to government dysfunction. Expanded coverage of these stories and much more at voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. Federal prosecutors in the U.S. unsealed charges on Thursday, accusing two people linked to Chinese intelligence of hacking more than 45 tech companies over the course of a decade. The charges are the latest brought by the Justice Department against Chinese hackers. Deputy U.S. Attorney General Rod Rosenstein.
We want China to cease its illegal cyber activities and honor its commitment to the international community. But the evidence suggests that China may not intend to abide by its promises.
Also speaking to the charges was FBI Director Christopher Wray.
The threats we face have never been more severe or more pervasive or more potentially damaging to our national security. And no country poses a broader, more severe, long-term threat to our nation's economy and cyber infrastructure than China.
The two Chinese nationals charged were described as members of a hacking group known to cybersecurity experts as the APT-10 group. The charges come near the end of an eventful and at times tumultuous year in relations between the U.S. and China. VOA's Patsy Widuksuwara has this look back.
Beijing's hardware on display at a recent air show. Though the United States still tops the world's military expenditures, China has been on a spending spree.
China has increased its military spending for the 29th consecutive year. They are the second largest spender in the world at around $228 billion.
Earlier in his term, President Donald Trump sought to cultivate ties with his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping to try to curb North Korea's nuclear program. A few weeks after the historic U.S.-North Korea summit, the U.S. slapped the first tariffs on China, accusing them of unfair trade practices and stealing intellectual property. Beijing retaliated with its own tariffs.
The focus, really, of this year has been on trade, and it has become really the litmus test of whether or not this relationship is going to be sound going forward or is going to move in an even more contentious direction.
Also of concern to Washington, preserving freedom of navigation in the South China Sea. A near collision between the two countries' warships in October highlighted the potential for conflict.
What the United States is really worried about is what's China's intent, and in a crisis, what might China do with these growing military capabilities that it has throughout the region.
Another worry, China's massive foreign investment strategy, the Belt and Road Initiative.
More and more Chinese are coming to Vietnam. It's like an invasion.
Over $1 trillion of Chinese funding will help connect almost 70 countries, solidifying Beijing's influence on 62% of the world's population.
It would be better if we can speak Mandarin, because businesses these days rely on China.
To compete, in October, the U.S. created an agency to facilitate $60 billion in private lending for projects in developing nations. In the same month, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence accused Beijing of trying to interfere in U.S. domestic politics and said the Trump administration is adopting a new strategy
to reset America's economic and strategic relationship with China. Americans stand strong behind a president that's putting America first.
At the G20 summit, Trump and Xi agreed to a 90-day trade truce. Since then, China has reduced tariffs on American auto imports. But in December, Beijing signaled it will not back down.
We should have the tenacity, which is like leaving your handprint on a piece of iron when you clutch it, and leaving your footprint on a stone when you step onto it.
While trade talks simmer, the Trump administration continues to push against what it calls Beijing state-sponsored hacking to take over global leadership and technology, indicating the U.S. has no intention to curb its broadside against China in the new year. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News, at the White House.
Happening now in Asia, Asia's equity traders are again opting to sell. The regional equity gauge opened lower after Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell delivered another interest rate increase and signaled that the central bank sees little threat to the economy. You're listening to VOA Asia. And we're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. Christmas is a time for giving. For one man, that means decorating his house with over-the-top Christmas displays to warm people's hearts. It's a family tradition, which Kurt Farmer took over from his father. VOA's Deborah Block takes us to the home full of Christmas spirit in Alexandria, Virginia.
You cannot miss the Farmer house on this quiet street in Alexandria, Virginia during the Christmas season.
Never seen anything like it in my life.
It's magical and it's overwhelming at the same time. You don't know where to look. There's so much going on.
And that's the whole idea, says Kurt Farmer, who spent nearly 300 hours putting up the amazing lights and decorations.
Flying Santa. That takes me right back to my childhood. I mean, it's in the exact same place it has been for 40 years.
Kurt grew up helping his father put up the annual display that started small and grew into a big production. After Kurt's mother died, his father moved out of the house. Then Kurt moved into the family home and carried on his father's tradition.
I want to continue what my father started in making people happy and kind of forgetting about the real world for a little while.
Now Kurt's 9-year-old daughter Lily lends a hand.
I just like helping him and doing some of the work.
And it's great that people keep traditions going. It's just lovely. It's like you're transported into a different, like, Christmas world.
Kurt asks for the same Christmas present every year, more decorations.
I make a list for Santa. These things are things I want to add. Santa's been very, very good to me. We leave the lights on so he never misses the house.
3 years ago, Kurt fell while putting up decorations and spent months learning how to walk again. But despite his injuries, he was back on the roof the following year, determined to set up his cherished display. Kurt feels his mother's spirit with him.
I just kind of sit there and just kind of take it all in. There's a hand on my shoulder saying, hey, this looks pretty neat.
I think it's spectacular that someone would take the time to put this much effort into it for the kids.
Kurt likes watching the children get excited, but he enjoys seeing the reaction from adults even more.
The adults can walk through and usually see something somewhere that reminds them of when they were growing up. It's important to make people happy and take them back to their childhood.
Kurt would like the visitors to leave with this feeling.
Like they just got a nice warm hug.
Deborah Block, VOA News, Alexandria, Virginia.
Thank you.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
This news alert from VOA Asia. 10 Israeli ambassadors in Asia met with their foreign counterparts in Jerusalem this week. The meeting to enhance cooperation was attended by senior diplomats from China, Japan, India, Vietnam, Nepal, Korea, and other nations. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories. This is VOA Asia. Imagine a magical place where lights are designed in the shape of the Statue of Liberty, the Eiffel Tower, or dragons. It's a place where children can enjoy a maze made of Chinese lanterns or see death-defying acts by gymnasts. VOA's Carolyn Pursuti takes us up to Light Up, a Christmas festival near Washington designed, built, and managed by Chinese workers visiting the U.S.
Jinlong Leo awaits his toughest acrobatic move, a three-ring leap. But his mind is with his baby son, back in China, and the first birthday he will miss. Leo is in the U.S. for 2 months as part of Light Up Fest, where 8 hectares of lights and lanterns look like a small city. 50 workers spent a month building the display in Virginia, just outside of Washington. Nightly, several of them walk the festival site for 2 hours, making sure the 1 million lights are working and delighting visitors, like 8-year-old Andrea Michelle.
We were outside, and when it's dark and there's all the lights, it looks beautiful and there's so many.
The displays contrast the intrigue of the East with patriotism of the West. 10,000 pieces make up the dragon. It's part of what's called a magical world, where some animals come to life. Head engineer Kweja Jung points out the special design of the U.S. Capitol Dome and the Chinese Temple of Heaven.
Those buildings are the tallest and closest to each other, so the two buildings connect the friendship between the countries.
These Chinese workers overcame several challenges to be here. First, the jet lag of a 13-hour time difference. Then, the shock of freezing winter weather. This night, it was -2 degrees Celsius. The cold is especially tough for Leo and his troop, but he says the warmth of the Americans make up for it.
People greet each other, even if they don't know each other.
For generations, the Chen family from Shanghai perfected the art of clay modeling. But when Xu Gao Chen landed at a U.S. airport, American customs agents confiscated most of his clay, thinking it was a dangerous compound.
The clay they bought here is not as good because the one he brought from China made a figure that would not break.
But they all pressed on to bring a little taste of China here to reflect on all of us.
Thank you so much.
Carolyn Pursuti, VOA News, Loudoun County, Virginia.
This news alert from VOA Asia, Pakistan's largest publishing house, the Jang Group, shut down 5 newspapers in various cities, rendering hundreds of journalists and media workers jobless. The International Federation of Journalists has condemned the closure and urged the media house to reconsider. All the big stories come your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. And VOA Asia's continues. Whether it was their accomplishments on Earth or in outer space, some notable people died in 2018, from singers to fashion designers to a former president. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo tells us more.
I miss you, my friend.
Singer Smokey Robinson paid an emotional tribute to his childhood friend Aretha Franklin, who died this year following a long battle with pancreatic cancer. Franklin was a recipient of 18 Grammy Awards and sold more than 75 million records. Loved ones, celebrities, and political leaders, including former U.S. President Bill Clinton, were among the thousands to honor her.
She lived with courage, not without fear, but overcoming her fears.
Movie fans said goodbye to 1970s sex symbol Burt Reynolds and comic fans to Marvel comic magnate Stan Lee, who died at the age of 95.
That's for you, Stan Lee. That's for you, baby. You always will live in this heart forever.
The world also lost British physicist and author Stephen Hawking. He died at 76 in his home in Cambridge.
Stephen Hawking was a huge personality worldwide. He had this amazing ability to connect with people.
The fashion industry bid farewell to American and French designers Kate Spade and Hubert de Givenchy. An homage for Givenchy showcased dresses inspired by the creator's most iconic designs worn by stars like Audrey Hepburn and Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. Spade took her own life. TV evangelist Billy Graham also died this year at the age of 99. Graham, who preached to millions around the world, was considered one of the leading spiritual voices of the 20th century.
I want to ask you tonight, do you love God? Do you love him with all your heart, with all your soul?
In South Africa, thousands of mourners packed a 40,000-seat stadium to celebrate the powerful anti-apartheid icon Winnie Mandela, who died at the age of 81. Africa lost another of its beloved figures, former United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan. A Nobel Peace Prize winner, Annan was hailed as a guiding force for good. Astronaut Alan Bean, who walked on the moon, died at the age of 86. Bean traveled to the moon almost 50 years ago as a member of the Apollo 12 mission.
Well, it was like you won the lottery, only even better.
And a member of an American political dynasty died in 2018. Family and friends, including four former U.S. presidents and President Donald Trump, packed into the Washington National Cathedral's prayer hall to mourn U.S.'s 41st president, George Herbert Walker Bush.
A great and noble man, the best father a son or daughter could have. And in our grief, let us smile knowing that Dad is hugging Robin and holding Mom's hand again.
The late Bush was laid to rest in Texas next to his wife, who also died this year, and their daughter Robin, who died of leukemia at the age of 3. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Washington.
This is Science in a Minute.
Researchers from the University of Southern California have pieced together a brutal prehistoric encounter between an early shark ancestor and a flying dinosaur. By studying fossils, the researchers found that the flying creature called a pterosaur met a violent end sometime during the Late Cretaceous period, 66 to 100 million years ago, when a fast and powerful shark, nicknamed a Ginsu shark, leaped out of the water and bit it in the neck. The flying pterosaur was thought to have had a wingspan of about 5.5 meters and weighed about 45 kilograms. The Ginsu shark was about 2.5 meters long, and while they are not closely related, had an appearance and behavior like today's great white shark. Gathered in the 1960s, the fossils were found in an area of the central United States that was once home to a giant waterway known as the Western Interior Seaway. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
And that is VOA Asia for today and for this week. Thanks so much for being with us. We always appreciate you joining us. We'll be back again on Monday. We hope you will as well. And until then, have a great weekend.